For those of you who may not know me, my name is Mary. I'm a mystic. My mystical experiences began when I was a young girl and have continued throughout my life. I will be speaking from that mystical consciousness. And a mystic, there are several definitions, but I'll give you two of them. One is that a mystic is one who has had an experience which has brought them into union and communion with the divine. The other is that a mystic is passionately in love with the divine or God. I say the divine because that is how it feels to me. God has a lot of trappings around that word, and so I use the word divine to speak about God. One of the aspects of energy that I appreciate deeply about being a mystic is that the heart energy begins to expand exponentially as we work energetically together. So all of us who are in this room, you, I hope, will stay in the right side of your brain, which is where your soul is communicating with you at all times, and to allow your heart to just relax and open. Because what we will be speaking about are not things that are necessarily logical, okay? I'm not going to speak logically. I will speak perhaps a little poetically, but it won't be logical. And I wanted to just read a few of our little rejoiners here so everybody knows. I think most people know already. We are not allowed to have any food or drink in the room. If you can turn your cell phones off if you haven't done so already. And when at the end of the meeting you want to have any questions answered, they're going to be 3x5 cards that are on the table back there with pencils, and you'll be able to write your question down, and then as the meetings go along, I will be answering the various questions that are asked. What I'd like to do is begin by reading three poems that are by mystics from different points of view and who have lived at different times, and each one has brought incredible knowing to the planet through their work. Thomas Aquinas was an amazing mystic and a great writer, and he wrote beautifully. "Ask anything, my Lord said to me, and my mind and my heart thought deeply for a second, then replied with just one word, when. God's arms then opened up, and I entered myself. I entered myself when I entered the divine. And having learned compassion, I allowed my soul to stay." This is a second one of his, which is glorious. "Sing, my tongue. Sing, my hand. Sing, my feet, my knee, my loins, my whole body. Indeed, I am God's choir." And this one. "If God said, Rumi, pay homage to everything that has helped you to enter my arms, there would not be one experience in my life, not one thought, not one feeling, nor any act that I would not bow to." So if you really are aware of the magnificence of the presence of who you really are, the divine which you are, then there would not be one experience in your life that you cannot now honor and rejoice that you had it, because it has brought you closer and closer to who you really are, which is the divine. "Not one thought, not one feeling, nor any act that I would not bow to." And I can only speak from my own experience in this, that there was a time when I did not understand how everything that has ever come to pass in our lives is part of a soul agreement that we made prior to coming into the body that was going to be the very things that we have experienced. And you might say, but why was there pain, and why was there anger, and why was there jealousy, and why was there loneliness, and why all those things? Because those were the very things that we had come to experience in our humanity, and then, if we chose, to be able to raise the vibration of those experiences and say, from this I have learned compassion, wisdom, patience, loving of self, loving of the other, being able to look at every experience in our lives and see that there was purpose there, even if at the time we did not recognize what that purpose was. But in our wisdom, we can look back, and I don't know about you, but I can just trace the energies through the life experiences that have brought me to this place where I am right now. And it is true that often the ego-conscious mind will immediately begin to, I call it, run its rag and say, no, 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 this is terrible, this is horrible, this is this, 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 this. And the truth is that the ego is only going to experience it that way. That's the deal. That's why we have it. And remember, we've come to learn through polarity. So the opposite pole of that peace and that love and that joy is also there. But if the voice that we have listened to with the greatest focus and concentration has been the sound of the ego and what it has to say, the soul speaks in a very quiet voice. It doesn't go, where do you get this? No, that's the ego that says, come on, you know, put up your dukes, whatever it is that it says that you're supposed to do in any given situation. So we need to be very clear that when that voice speaks unto us, that we're willing to pay attention. And that means that we cannot get attached to those experiences that we consider to be less than love. The experiences we consider to be less than love. For only when we're willing to embrace all experiences can we truly open our heart to another. Because many suffer. Many suffer. And we can hold that suffering because we know what suffering is. We can hold that pain because we know what pain is. We can hold the longing because we know what the longing is. Do you see the perfection of every single thing that has come into our lives? And to see how it has, yes, shaped us and sometimes brought us into a place of deep contemplation and questioning about what does this mean? Why am I here? What is my purpose? But often, the other reality that we have is that we already know why we're here. And it's one word. It has four letters.
Love.
Love. Thank you very much.
That's
the deal. That's the bottom line. And if we have not grown up with, and most of us have not, we chose the family to come into. We had a soul agreement. We said, all right, these are the things we want to work on this time. So let us choose a family in which we will get those kinds of opportunities to either revisit or to change energetically the experience that we are having. Now, for many people, the family constellation they come into, we will take different positions every time we re-embody. So sometimes you'll be the mom, sometimes you'll be the youngest child, sometimes you'll be the brother who has to go away and come back, you know, the prodigal son. Each of us will again and again come into different aspects, and it's not just the smaller unit, it can be the larger unit. I had a psychic once say to me, there are seven souls who want to come through you. And I didn't have any kids this time. I said, nope, not doing that. I got other things to do this time. And then I wondered to myself, will I meet some of those seven souls? Will I get to know any of them? Will I actually have a connection with them, even though I won't be a mother to them this time? And lo and behold, she said, yes, indeed. I have met all seven of them, and I know them and love them, and they love me. And even though I have not said to them, you really wanted to come through me, but there were other plans afoot, and that is not what was really going on anyway. But to know that the awareness of how from our family entity to the things we choose to do with our lives. All these are part of this extraordinary tapestry of what our lives can be about if we choose to live with that level of consciousness. Often, we will come to a crossroads where there will be a definitive change that is happening or going to happen in our lives. And often when we come to that crossroads, there can be fear and trepidation. If I go to this crossroads and I continue not this way but this way, what will happen? I'll give you an example. When I had my dance company, one of the members of the dance company had said, there's someone who's going to be giving this talk and I want to go, and I'm just being called to go and hear what this gentleman has to say. I said, well, I'd love to go with you. And as we're walking over to the building where this gentleman is going to be speaking, this dancer's name was Pat, I said, Pat, tonight your life is going to go just like this. Da-da! You are going to come to a crossroads, and the energy of your life is going to go in a completely different direction than this moment. And she said, you got to be kidding. I said, trust me. And I do not know what this is that we're going to go here. I just am clearly receiving the message here and here. So I said, get ready. Because when you walk in that room, some stuff's going to happen. And I don't know what it'll be. So we go in the room. And there were these machines. And he was giving a lecture on them. And she just lit up. And when it was over and we're walking back home, she said, I can't believe it. This is it, isn't it, Mary? I said, yes, this is it. It was Pilates. She is now a world teacher. She travels all over the world teaching Pilates, and she does it for teachers, not for students, but for teachers. She has done a workbook, a handbook, a this, a that, the other, and her whole life has been so beautifully and magnificently opened in a way that she couldn't have imagined. But when it went like this, she was willing to see that she was now going to go on a different track altogether. Now, many of us in this room have come to those moments in our lives. Even though we may not have known it at the moment, we only look back and say, that was a pinnacle moment right there. That was a moment where my life really did move and shift in a different way. And even if it was subtle and took a certain amount of time, hers just happened in one evening and, you know, she said, this is it. For others, it may have been a process over a period of time where we would say, I don't know, feels right, but I don't know, will I, won't I, will I, won't I? But the pull of that energy to whatever was going to unfold in your life was part of that soul agreement that came in. And it's so powerful when you're able to follow what those moments are, because they are like pearls upon a string. And the string is the lifeline. And then the pearls are added one upon the other. And you begin to look back and say, look what my life is. It has become a string of the most beautiful pearls and of moments that we never, ever expected would happen in this lifetime. I don't know about y'all, but I never thought it would. Has anybody had experiences where they go, this is pretty far out? Was for me. I said, yep, this is pretty far out. And then to be able to meet with other people who in their lives have had those extraordinary moments. Now, we think that they're accidents. No, there are no accidents. There is divine order in all that we do. And it is for us to determine in the moments when things are shifting and changing, how is the feeling level of the experience? How are we feeling not only at the heart level, but are we in a place where there is peace behind whatever the excitement or the joy of that experience might be? Because often the ego gets so caught up in the excitement or the stimulation of whatever's happening that peace is not a consideration. But those of us who are sitting in this room, we must honor that the peace must also be there. The peace which passeth understanding. The understanding that something else is going to unfold and we don't know what it is, and yet the peace is there flowing underneath whatever the ripples are upon the surface of the water that are carrying us wherever we happen to be going. Yes? So when I'm looking at a new experience that may be coming my way, one of the questions that I ask myself is, am I in peace here? Even when my heart's going like this and the right side of my brain is going, wow, and my little conscious mind is going, okay, boy, this is really going to be fun. We're going to have a really good time, you know? We have all these things happening simultaneously when moments of great change or opportunities come our way. And we say, okay, I want to just jump in with both feet. And as you all know, many of you, I'm a quadruple Scorpio, so I love to jump in with both feet. And I can remember my mom saying, you know, just take your time and look at all the possibilities and don't get overly excited. And I'm just about to jump out of my skin. But it was wonderful to hear those words, even if I couldn't follow them. Because life is so full of those extraordinary moments. And often we say, well, we're in a routine now, you know? We get into a routine, and we let that routine be the thing that sort of is what it is day unto day, and you have breakfast at the same time, and you go to work, and then you do the blah, blah. And we've, even within your job framework, there may be moments of pure joy, pure peace, pure laughter, you know? Pure opening of the heart. But at the same time, to be able to carry the peace which we are through every single moment of every experience. And if we check in and we're not in peace and we don't feel that peace, then we have to stop and say, wait a minute, what's really going on here? Where has the peace gone? Have I lost that in seeking or following or grasping at something that was exterior to my world? Whereas the peace within my world will determine it. Will determine if that experience that is outside myself is truly where I want to be. And for many, many, many individuals who are on the earth plane at this time, they are seeking peace, and they are seeking being one in whatever community they belong to. And also, what is service? I want to speak about this because often the collective consciousness, and certainly what I was taught, was service is doing. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The doing. But then the divine came to me and said, I have news for you, Mary. Service is about being. Service is about being. Being. Now, how does one know that one is in being? All right, this is a very important question, because often we presume that if we do good, good will be returned to us. Or if we do good, it will be followed by more good that will follow again and again and again. But in this definition of service, which the divine has given me, in the being, you are resting in that love, which you are. You are resting in that peace which you are, and from that place there will arise whatever the doing needs to be. Often we jump to the doing and we never allow the being to be that which comes first. Do you understand what I'm saying? Nod your heads up and down if you don't understand. You think you're getting this. Okay. Because a lot of people say, I don't want to hear about the being. I'm just going to do, do, do. And all of us are supreme doers in this room. Would you agree with that? Nod your heads up and down. Yes. We are all consummate doers. Yes? Now, to come to where all our doing is, go behind that doing and ask, what is the nature of the being that is behind my doing? Because often it can become both addictive and compulsive. And particularly if you're getting strokes when you're doing it, okay? And the more strokes you get, the clearer you are that you must be doing the right thing, okay? And the ego says, man, I just got some good strokes here. Boy, I'm just going to keep doing this. All right, this feels really fine. When you're in being, there are no strokes. Oh, rats. No, not a one stroke, not any strokes at all. Because the being is that which is held within and is not shown so that it can be, oh, that was such good being. Not really. So what we do if we choose, is to nurture the being, to nurture the being, and to reference the being when we see that we want to serve in the world as doing. Hmm? And if from that place of being we feel that the being is flowing out of us, and then the doing is going to manifest from that, then it feels very different than doing, which then does what? Creates more doing, which then does what? Creates more doing. Are we getting this? The doing will perpetuate more doing as long as that is where you are. But if you are totally aligned to the being within, then what happens is this extraordinary level of energy that is going to go not perhaps where you expected at all, at all. When the divine said to me, it's not anything you're going to do out there, Mary. Your life and the doing that you do is going to be in the formless. In the formless. It will not be in form. You're not going to go out and go, here it is, da-da-da-da-da, form, doing. Now, tonight, I'm sitting here speaking, but actually, I'm not. Actually, I'm not speaking. It just appears that I am. What's really going on here is that the being which I am is encircling each of you. Completely. Absolutely. And if I did not speak another word, you would get every single thing that you need to get tonight. But you see, the fun is that we get to talk. That's the fun. And it should be joyful. I'm very joyful. I'm a very joyful person. And so I'm joyful about speaking. And in the silence that I hope all of us practice at least a few moments a day, when we're in the silence, we are in that place of being. And for many, it is very hard to be there because the doing is so addictive. It is so addictive. I grew up in a family where doing was imperative. And I was told, this is what we do, and we do not be still, and we do not be quiet. And so, and I would try to hide so I could be quiet for a few minutes, and my mother would know where I was hiding. And she would come and say, up, 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 let's go. There's so much to be done. There's so many things we have to do. I mean, I grew up with that doing consciousness, and I became very good at it. I'm still very good at it. And to cherish the being within me, I have to create a place and a time in which I may not only cherish the being, but allow the being to be that which moves into and through the doing. Yes? Now, how many of us have animals? Just raise your hand up. Lots of animals. Now, animals are just pure being. We do know that, don't we? Everybody nod your heads. Yeah. Animals are pure being. Pure being. So if you ever want to know about being, get an animal and just let them love on you and show you what being is. They don't worry about what they're going to do next. You know, it doesn't even occur to them. They just go, I'm being, you know, and whether they're cats or dogs or birds or monkeys or whatever it is that you all have, fish, they're all in that being. And the greatest teachers I've had on the earth plane have been animals. I mean, I've had a lot of wonderful human beings in my life, but if I really want to know being, I'll tell you what. The animal kingdom knows. And if you love to work in the garden, like my beloved Michel, he is in the radiant being of Mother Earth. And he watches as he digs in the dirt and does whatever he does, how that radiant being of the mother is evolving and changing and moving and giving birth, and allowing that to pass away, and then the next to give birth, and that to pass away, and the flow of being that takes so many exquisite forms. I mean, nature is just exquisite. I mean, I don't know about you all, but I just have to wake up in the morning and look at the sun, and I just go, whoo, knocks my socks off. It's just unbelievable, the being that surrounds us. The sun doesn't say, man, I got to go to work today. I have got to work really hard. No, the sun is simply consciousness in pure being. And out of that comes what we know to be the sun, Everything, every planet, every star, every molecule, H2O. They don't even know why water is water, folks. They don't even know why it is. It just is. You know, and I read about, you know, if somebody decided how come water is water? Well, not really, because water, you know, you can say here's the molecular this and here's the atomic that and here's the blah, blah, blah. But how come all that, when you put it together, is water? Beats me. Well, I can tell you the divine had a plan and said, we're going to have something called water. And you can call it whatever you want to, but it's going to be most of what we are in here and a lot of what's out here. And it's going to be able to change form. It's going to go from a liquid to a solid to what we just know is rain. And then it's going to look like clouds. And then it's going to be tears, it's going to be all kinds of things, and it's going to be lubricant in the body. It's going to just be so magnificent, and we don't really know why it is, but there it is, and it is a miracle. Yeah? Now, water doesn't say, I'm going to go really hard today, man. I'm going to work on being ice today. Work on, work, work, work. And then, I'm going to go over here, and I think maybe I'd like to be just up in the air, and then condense, and then fall down. I think maybe I'd like to do that today. You understand? These extraordinary levels of being that are expressing on the earth plane, and we are not even aware of them often, we just take it for granted. Yes? The wind is going to blow, we take it for granted. The sky is going to be blue, we take it for granted. Everything that we are and we perceive is in some way within us. We are this extraordinary creation that has every single possibility. And look at the myriad ways we are expressed in physical form. This vessel is our divine consciousness made manifest physically. This vessel that we call the body holds the magnificence of the divine. And in our body, we have it all. Every single thing. We have it all right here. And it's enveloped here. And it doesn't spew out much, except maybe with our tears and our saliva and so on. And we look at our bodies and often we go, I don't know if I like my body. I love my body. I love everything about my body. And when I was choosing a body, because we all chose the bodies, everything about your body you chose before you came in embodiment. He said, this time I'm going to have a body that will be blah, 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 so I can work on da, 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 and therefore my being will be more radiant as a result of the body that I have. Now, most people do not like their bodies. They say, why can't I have that body? And I'd like his eyes and her hair, and she gets a tan and I can't. Rats. And I want this, and you understand, we do not honor what we have chosen to hold our being. This vessel holds the being. The divine consciousness of all that is right in this body. And in this wonderful poem, let me read this again. When I read this thing, I just went, holy shimoli. This guy really knows what he's talking about. If I can find it. Yes, here it is. This is Thomas Aquinas. Sing my tongue, sing my hand, sing my feet, my knee, my loins, my whole body. Indeed, I am God's choir. Wow. Wow. I mean, that's really a mystic. When you realize that the magnificence of this vessel is holding the divine in every single cell, there's that divine consciousness, right? And we have this incredible brain, and we have the two halves for a very good reason. One is doing a lot of work on just what I call the doodah day of life, and the right-hand side is doing the magnificent. It is allowing the divine to communicate directly with us. I have the voice within. Many of you have the voice within, and that voice speaks very clearly. And when the soul, because we're talking about living soulfully, when the soul communicates with us, it is through the right side of the brain that communication happens, through our hearts that communication happens, and every cell of your body is filled with that divine consciousness. I say, when people say, I want to know God, I said, well, there are a lot of ways you can do that. One of the ones that I love, because I love my body, is to just go into my body, into the cells of my body, and listen to what God has to say right there in the cells of my body. And then if I want to go into the extended realms of consciousness, I can do that. I'll hear the word of God there. And then if I just sit quietly within my heart, I will hear God speaking to me. And then if I quiet the ego conscious mind on the left side and I just rest in that silence, then I will hear also from the right side of my brain. And if I want to go to nature, God said, have I got a symphony for you today? Just go on out there and I will show you the most beautiful music, the most beautiful light show you've ever seen. I will entertain you, and you will not believe how fabulous is this which I have created. And it's everywhere. It's everywhere. And in so doing, the being of who we are is ever expanding, ever expanding. Have you not seen something in nature that was so beautiful it took your breath away? And you looked upon it and you said, how can this be? This is so magnificent. Now, if you've not had that experience, ask that you have it. And if you loved it, ask for more. And then it will come unto you. Why wouldn't it? You're God. You're the divine. You're asking the divine which you are to bring unto you that which you would like to experience. And beauty is one of the beautiful ways to know the divine which you are. So often, and I don't know about you, I will look at my hand and I'll go, now that is an amazing hand. Look what that hand can do. That hand is just, you know, and it's like anybody else's hand, I guess. But what this hand is miraculous. And as a dancer, I can tell you, what we do with our bodies as dancers, most human beings would say, I would never go there. But we go there because the need to express the being within us is so powerful that we cannot just think about it or feel it momentarily. Dancers want the full-out, three-dimensional, get down and do that thing and feel the divinity of what's what, and to feel it in our bodies. I want to share an experience that I had at the University of Utah. I was there and we were doing, working with the two magnificent teachers there. And this was, I was in my early 20s at the time. And people had come from all over to have this weekend of intensive dancing. And we had gotten warmed up, and then the woman who was teaching it, her name is Shirley Ryrie, She said, now, I want this group of people, and she organized, she said, I want you to do improvisation. And we were very good at improvisation, and we also were, most of us had come out of some level of ballet training as well. And we did not know any of the people that we were going to do this improv with. And usually when you do an improv, they give you something to work with, either an idea, a color, something. And it was to lift a great weight, to lift a great weight. And there were a few, like three guys and four girls in the group. And you have to have an opening position. And so, and without speaking to each other, we all created an opening position with our bodies, okay? We're going to lift a great weight. And this most incredible thing happened. It was the first time I'd ever experienced what truly is collective consciousness. The collective consciousness of every single one of those dancers became one. We were one body, one consciousness. And as we began to move, and for those of you who may not know me, my name is Mary. I'm a mystic. My mystical experiences began when I was a young girl and have continued throughout my life. I will be speaking from that mystical consciousness. And a mystic, there are several definitions, but I'll give you two of them. One is that a mystic is one who has had an experience which has brought them into union and communion with the divine. The other is that a mystic is passionately in love with the divine or God. I say the divine because that is how it feels to me. God has a lot of trappings around that word, and so I use the word divine to speak about God. One of the aspects of energy that I appreciate deeply about being a mystic is that the heart energy begins to expand exponentially as we work energetically together. So all of us who are in this room, you, I hope, will stay in the right side of your brain, which is where your soul is communicating with you at all times, and to allow your heart to just relax and open. Because what we will be speaking about are not things that are necessarily logical, okay? I'm not going to speak logically. I will speak perhaps a little poetically, but it won't be logical. And I wanted to just read a few of our little rejoiners here so everybody knows. I think most people know already. We are not allowed to have any food or drink in the room. If you can turn your cell phones off if you haven't done so already. And when at the end of the meeting you want to have any questions answered, there are going to be 3x5 cards that are on the table back there with pencils, and you'll be able to write your question down, and then as the meetings go along, I will be answering the various questions that are asked. What I'd like to do is begin by reading three poems that are by mystics from different points of view and who have lived at different times, and each one has brought incredible knowing to the planet through their work. Thomas Aquinas was an amazing mystic and a great writer, and he wrote beautifully. "Ask anything, my Lord said to me, and my mind and my heart thought deeply for a second, then replied with just one word, when. God's arms then opened up, and I entered myself. I entered myself when I entered the divine. And having learned compassion, I allowed my soul to stay." This is a second one of his, which is glorious. "Sing, my tongue, sing, my hand, sing, my feet, my knee, my loins, my whole body. Indeed, I am God's choir." And this one, "If God said, Rumi, pay homage to everything that has helped you to enter my arms, there would not be one experience in my life, not one thought, not one feeling, nor any act that I would not bow to." So if you really are aware of the magnificence of the presence of who you really are, the divine which you are, then there would not be one experience in your life that you cannot now honor and rejoice that you had it, because it has brought you closer and closer to who you really are, which is the divine. "Not one thought, not one feeling, nor any act that I would not bow to." And I can only speak from my own experience in this, that there was a time when I did not understand how everything that has ever come to pass in our lives is part of a soul agreement that we made prior to coming into the body that was going to be the very things that we have experienced. And you might say, but why was there pain, and why was there anger, and why was there jealousy, and why was there loneliness, and why all those things? Because those were the very things that we had come to experience in our humanity, and then, if we chose, to be able to raise the vibration of those experiences and say, from this I have learned compassion, wisdom, patience, loving of self, loving of the other, being able to look at every experience in our lives and see that there was purpose there, even if at the time we did not recognize what that purpose was. But in our wisdom, we can look back, and I don't know about you, but I can just trace the energies through the life experiences that have brought me to this place where I am right now. And it is true that often the ego-conscious mind will immediately begin to, I call it, run its rag and say, no, this is terrible, this is horrible, this is this. And the truth is that the ego is only going to experience it that way. That's the deal. That's why we have it. And remember, we've come to learn through polarity. So the opposite pole of that peace and that love and that joy is also there. But if the voice that we have listened to with the greatest focus and concentration has been the sound of the ego and what it has to say, the soul speaks in a very quiet voice. It doesn't go, "Where you get this?" No, that's the ego that says, "Come on, you know, put up your dukes," whatever it is that it says that you're supposed to do in any given situation. So we need to be very clear that when that voice speaks unto us, that we're willing to pay attention. And that means that we cannot get attached to those experiences that we consider to be less than love. The experiences we consider to be less than love. For only when we're willing to embrace all experiences can we truly open our heart to another. Because many suffer. Many suffer. And we can hold that suffering because we know what suffering is. We can hold that pain because we know what pain is. We can hold the longing because we know what the longing is. Do you see the perfection of every single thing that has come into our lives? And to see how it has, yes, shaped us and sometimes brought us into a place of deep contemplation and questioning about what does this mean? Why am I here? What is my purpose? But often, the other reality that we have is that we already know why we're here. And it's one word. It has four letters. Love. Thank you very much. That's the deal. That's the bottom line. And if we have not grown up with, and most of us have not, we chose the family to come into. We had a soul agreement. We said, all right, these are the things we want to work on this time. So let us choose a family in which we will get those kinds of opportunities to either revisit or to change energetically the experience that we are having. Now, for many people, the family constellation they come into, we will take different positions every time we re-embody. So sometimes you'll be the mom, sometimes you'll be the youngest child, sometimes you'll be the brother who has to go away and come back, you know, the prodigal son. Each of us will again and again come into different aspects, and it's not just the smaller unit, it can be the larger unit. I had a psychic once say to me, there are seven souls who want to come through you. And I didn't have any kids this time. I said, nope, not doing that. I got other things to do this time. And then I wondered to myself, will I meet some of those seven souls? Will I get to know any of them? Will I actually have a connection with them, even though I won't be a mother to them this time? And lo and behold, she said, yes, indeed. I have met all seven of them, and I know them and love them, and they love me. And even though I have not said to them, you really wanted to come through me, but there were other plans afoot, and that is not what was really going on anyway. But to know that the awareness of how from our family entity to the things we choose to do with our lives, all these are part of this extraordinary tapestry of what our lives can be about if we choose to live with that level of consciousness. Often, we will come to a crossroads where there will be a definitive change that is happening or going to happen in our lives. And often when we come to that crossroads, there can be fear and trepidation. If I go to this crossroads and I continue not this way but this way, what will happen? Give you an example. when I had my dance company, one of the members of the dance company had said, there's someone who's going to be giving this talk, and I want to go, and I'm just being called to go and hear what this gentleman has to say. I said, well, I'd love to go with you. And as we're walking over to the building where this gentleman's going to be speaking, this dancer's name was Pat, I said, Pat, tonight your life is going to go just like this. Da-da! You are going to come to a crossroads, and the energy of your life is going to go in a completely different direction than this moment. And she said, you got to be kidding. I said, trust me. And I do not know what this is that we're going to go here. I just am clearly receiving the message here and here. So I said, get ready. Because when you walk in that room, some stuff's going to happen. And I don't know what it'll be. So we go in the room. And there were these machines. And he was giving a lecture on them. And she just lit up. And when it was over and we're walking back home, she said, I can't believe it. This is it, isn't it, Mary? I said, yes, this is it. It was Pilates. She is now a world teacher. She travels all over the world teaching Pilates, and she does it for teachers, not for students, but for teachers. She has done a workbook, a handbook, of this, of that, the other, and her whole life has been so beautifully and magnificently opened in a way that she couldn't have imagined. But when it went like this, she was willing to see that she was now going to go on a different track altogether. Now, many of us in this room have come to those moments in our lives. Even though we may not have known it at the moment, we only look back and say, that was a pinnacle moment right there. That was a moment where my life really did move and shift in a different way. And even if it was subtle and took a certain amount of time, hers just happened in one evening and, you know, she said, this is it. For others, it may have been a process over a period of time where we would say, I don't know, feels right, but I don't know, will I, won't I, will I, won't I? But the pull of that energy to whatever was going to unfold in your life was part of that soul agreement that came in. And it's so powerful when you're able to follow what those moments are, because they are like pearls upon a string. And the string is the lifeline. And then the pearls are added one upon the other. And you begin to look back and say, look what my life is. It has become a string of the most beautiful pearls and of moments that we never, ever expected would happen in this lifetime. I don't know about y'all, but I never thought it would. Has anybody had experiences where they go, this is pretty far out? Was for me. I said, yep, this is pretty far out. And then to be able to meet with other people who in their lives have had those extraordinary moments. Now, we think that they're accidents. No, there are no accidents. There is divine order in all that we do. And it is for us to determine in the moments when things are shifting and changing, how is the feeling level of the experience? How are we feeling not only at the heart level, but are we in a place where there is peace behind whatever the excitement or the joy of that experience might be? Because often the ego gets so caught up in the excitement or the stimulation of whatever's happening that peace is not a consideration. But those of us who are sitting in this room, we must honor that the peace must also be there. The peace which passeth understanding. The understanding that something else is going to unfold and we don't know what it is, and yet the peace is there flowing underneath whatever the ripples are upon the surface of the water that are carrying us wherever we happen to be going. Yes? So when I'm looking at a new experience that may be coming my way, one of the questions that I ask myself is, am I in peace here? Even when my heart's going like this and the right side of my brain is going, wow, and my little conscious mind is going, okay, boy, this is really going to be fun. We're going to have a really good time, you know? We have all these things happening simultaneously when moments of great change or opportunities come our way. And we say, okay, I want to just jump in with both feet. And as you all know, many of you, I'm a quadruple Scorpio, so I love to jump in with both feet. And I can remember my mom saying, you know, just take your time and look at all the possibilities and don't get overly excited. And I'm just about to jump out of my skin. But it was wonderful to hear those words, even if I couldn't follow them. Because life is so full of those extraordinary moments. And often we say, well, we're in a routine now, you know? We get into a routine, and we let that routine be the thing that sort of is what it is day unto day, and you have breakfast at the same time, and you go to work, and then you do the blah, blah. And we've, even within your job framework, there may be moments of pure joy, pure peace, pure laughter, you know? Pure opening of the heart. But at the same time, to be able to carry the peace which we are through every single moment of every experience. And if we check in and we're not in peace and we don't feel that peace, then we have to stop and say, wait a minute, what's really going on here? Where has the peace gone? Have I lost that in seeking or following or grasping at something that was exterior to my world? Whereas the peace within my world will determine it. Will determine if that experience that is outside myself is truly where I want to be. And for many, many, many individuals who are on the earth plane at this time, they are seeking peace, and they are seeking being one in whatever community they belong to. And also, what is service? I want to speak about this because often the collective consciousness, and certainly what I was taught, was service is doing. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The doing. But then the divine came to me and said, I have news for you, Mary. Service is about being. Service is about being. Being. Now, how does one know that one is in being? All right, this is a very important question, because often we presume that if we do good, good will be returned to us. Or if we do good, it will be followed by more good that will follow again and again and again. But in this definition of service, which the divine has given me, in the being, you are resting in that love, which you are. You are resting in that peace which you are, and from that place there will arise whatever the doing needs to be. Often we jump to the doing and we never allow the being to be that which comes first. Do you understand what I'm saying? Nod your heads up and down if you don't understand. You think you're getting this. Okay. Because a lot of people say, I don't want to hear about the being. I'm just going to do, do, do. And all of us are supreme doers in this room. Would you agree with that? Nod your heads up and down. Yes. We are all consummate doers. Yes?
Yes.
Now, to come to where all our doing is, go behind that doing and ask, what is the nature of the being that is behind my doing? Because often it can become both addictive and compulsive. And particularly if you're getting strokes when you're doing it, okay? And the more strokes you get, the clearer you are that you must be doing the right thing, okay? And the ego says, man, I just got some good strokes here. Boy, I'm just going to keep doing this. All right, this feels really fine. When you're in being, there are no strokes. Oh, rats. No, not a one stroke. Not any strokes at all. Because the being is that which is held within and is not shown so that it can be, oh, that was such good being. Not really. So what we do, if we choose, is to nurture the being. To nurture the being. And to reference the being when we see that we want to serve in the world as doing. And if from that place of being we feel that the being is flowing out of us, and then the doing is going to manifest from that, then it feels very different than doing, which then does what? Creates more doing, which then does what? Creates more doing, Are we getting this? The doing will perpetuate more doing as long as that is where you are. But if you are totally aligned to the being within, then what happens is this extraordinary level of energy that is going to go not perhaps where you expected at all, at all. When the divine said to me, it's not anything you're going to do out there, Mary. Your life and the doing that you do is going to be in the formless. In the formless. It will not be in form. You're not going to go out and go, here it is, da-da-da-da-da, form, doing. Now, tonight, I'm sitting here speaking, but actually, I'm not. Actually, I'm not speaking. It just appears that I am. What's really going on here is that the being which I am is encircling each of you. Completely. Absolutely. And if I did not speak another word, you would get every single thing that you need to get tonight. But you see, the fun is that we get to talk. That's the fun. And it should be joyful. I'm very joyful. I'm a very joyful person. And so I'm joyful about speaking. And in the silence that I hope all of us practice at least a few moments a day, when we're in the silence, we are in that place of being. And for many, it is very hard to be there because the doing is so addictive. It is so addictive. I grew up in a family where doing was imperative. And I was told, this is what we do, and we do not be still, and we do not be quiet. And so, and I would try to hide so I could be quiet for a few minutes, and my mother would know where I was hiding. And she would come and say, up, 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 let's go. There's so much to be done. There's so many things we have to do. I mean, I grew up with that doing consciousness, and I became very good at it. I'm still very good at it. And to cherish the being within me, I have to create a place and a time in which I may not only cherish the being, but allow the being to be that which moves into and through the doing. Yes? Now, how many of us have animals? Just raise your hand up. Lots of animals. Now, animals are just pure being. We do know that, don't we? Everybody nod your heads. Yeah. Animals are pure being. Pure being. So if you ever want to know about being, get an animal and just let them love on you and show you what being is. They don't worry about what they're going to do next. You know, it doesn't even occur to them. They just go, I'm being, you know, and whether they're cats or dogs or birds or monkeys or whatever it is that you all have, fish, they're all in that being. And the greatest teachers I've had on the earth plane have been animals. I mean, I've had a lot of wonderful human beings in my life, but if I really want to know being, I'll tell you what. The animal kingdom knows. And if you love to work in the garden, like my beloved Michel, he is in the radiant being of Mother Earth. And he watches as he digs in the dirt and does whatever he does, how that radiant being of the mother is evolving and changing and moving and giving birth and allowing that to pass away and then the next to give birth and that to pass away. And the flow of being that takes so many exquisite forms. I mean, nature is just exquisite. I mean, I don't know about you all, but I just have to wake up in the morning and look at the sun and I just go, whoo, knocks my socks off. It's just unbelievable. The being that surrounds us. The sun doesn't say, man, I got to go to work today. I have got to work really hard. No, the sun is simply consciousness in pure being. And out of that comes what we know to be the sun. Everything, every planet, every star, every molecule, H2O. They don't even know why water is water, folks. They don't even know why it is. It just is. You know, and I read about, you know, if somebody decided how come water is water? Well, not really. Because water, you know, you can say here's the molecular this and here's the atomic that and here's the blah, blah, blah. But how come all that, when you put it together, is water? Beats me. Well, I can tell you the divine had a plan and said, we're going to have something called water. And you can call it whatever you want to, but it's going to be most of what we are in here and a lot of what's out here. And it's going to be able to change form. It's going to go from a liquid to a solid to what we just know is rain, and then it's going to look like clouds, and then it's going to be tears. It's going to be all kinds of things, and it's going to be lubricant in the body. It's going to just be so magnificent, and we don't really know why it is, but there it is, and it is a miracle. Yeah? Now, water doesn't say, I'm going to go really hard today, man. I'm going to work on being ice today. Work on, work, work, work. And then, I'm going to go over here, and I think maybe I'd like to be just up in the air and then condense and then fall down. I think maybe I'd like to do that today. You understand? These extraordinary levels of being that are expressing on the earth plane, and we are not even aware of them often. We just take it for granted. Yes? The wind is going to blow. We take it for granted. The sky is going to be blue. We take it for granted. Everything that we are and we perceive is in some way within us. We are this extraordinary creation that has every single possibility. And look at the myriad ways we are expressed in physical form. This vessel is our divine consciousness made manifest physically. This vessel that we call the body holds the magnificence of the divine. And in our body, we have it all. Every single thing. We have it all right here. And it's enveloped here. And it doesn't spew out much, except maybe with our tears and our saliva and so on. And we look at our bodies and often we go, I don't know if I like my body. I love my body. I love everything about my body. And when I was choosing a body, because we all chose the bodies, everything about your body you chose before you came in embodiment. You said, this time I'm going to have a body that will be blah, 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 so I can work on da, 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 and therefore my being will be more radiant as a result of the body that I have. Now, most people do not like their bodies. They say, why can't I have that body? And I'd like his eyes and her hair, and she gets a tan and I can't. Rats. And I want this, and you understand, we do not honor what we have chosen to hold our being. This vessel holds the being. The divine consciousness of all that is right in this body. And in this wonderful poem, let me read this again. When I read this thing, I just went, holy shmoly. This guy really knows what he's talking about. If I can find it. Yes, here it is. This is Thomas Aquinas. Sing my tongue, sing my hand, sing my feet, my knee, my loins, my whole body. Indeed, I am God's choir. Wow. Wow. I mean, that's really a mystic. When you realize that the magnificence of this vessel is holding the divine in every single cell, there's that divine consciousness, right? And we have this incredible brain. And we have the two halves for a very good reason. One is doing a lot of work on just what I call the doodah day of life. And the right-hand side is doing the magnificent. It is allowing the divine to communicate directly with us. I have the voice within. Many of you have the voice within. And that voice speaks very clearly. And when the soul, because we're talking about living soulfully, when the soul communicates with us, it is through the right side of the brain that communication happens, through our hearts that communication happens, and every cell of your body is filled with that divine consciousness. I say, when people say, I want to know God, I said, well, there are a lot of ways you can do that. One of the ones that I love, because I love my body, is to just go into my body, into the cells of my body, and listen to what God has to say right there in the cells of my body. And then if I want to go into the extended realms of consciousness, I can do that. I'll hear the word of God there. And then if I just sit quietly Within my heart, I will hear God speaking to me. And then, if I quiet the ego conscious mind on the left side, and I just rest in that silence, then I will hear also from the right side of my brain. And if I want to go to nature, God said, have I got a symphony for you today? Just go on out there and I will show you the most beautiful music, the most beautiful light show you've ever seen. I will entertain you, and you will not believe how fabulous is this which I have created. And it's everywhere. It's everywhere. And in so doing, the being of who we are is ever expanding, ever expanding. Have you not seen something in nature that was so beautiful it took your breath away? And you looked upon it and you said, how can this be? This is so magnificent. Now, if you've not had that experience, ask that you have it. And if you loved it, ask for more. And then it will come unto you. Why wouldn't it? You're God. You're the divine. You're asking the divine which you are to bring unto you that which you would like to experience. And beauty is one of the beautiful ways to know the divine which you are. So often, and I don't know about you, I will look at my hand and I'll go, now that is an amazing hand. Look what that hand can do. That hand is just, you know, and it's like anybody else's hand, I guess. But what this hand is miraculous. And as a dancer, I can tell you, what we do with our bodies as dancers, most human beings would say, I would never go there. But we go there because the need to express the being within us is so powerful that we cannot just think about it or feel it momentarily. Dancers want the full-out, three-dimensional, get down and do that thing and feel the divinity of what's what, and to feel it in our bodies. I want to share an experience that I had at the University of Utah. I was there and we were doing, working with the two magnificent teachers there. And this was, I was in my early 20s at the time. And people had come from all over to have this weekend of intensive dancing. And we had gotten warmed up, and then the woman who was teaching it, her name is Shirley Ryrie, she said, now, I want this group of people, and she organized, she said, I want you to do improvisation. And we were very good at improvisation, and we also were, most of us had come out of some level of ballet training as well. And we did not know any of the people that we were going to do this improv with. And usually when you do an improv, they give you something to work with, either an idea, a color, something. And it was to lift a great weight, to lift a great weight. And there were a few, like three guys and four girls in the group. And you have to have an opening position. And so, and without speaking to each other, we all created an opening position with our bodies, okay? We're going to lift a great weight. And this most incredible thing happened. It was the first time I'd ever experienced what truly is collective consciousness. The collective consciousness of every single one of those dancers became one. We were one body, one consciousness. And as we began to move and lift this great weight, we were in a transcendent state of consciousness. And there are athletes that talk about that place where everything stops and they see with great clarity and they can throw the ball, they can receive the ball, they can do anything in that moment because it is absolute clarity and everything, everything has stopped and gone into slow motion. All right? And they perceive that. They know that. That moment that is so incredible. Well, here we were, these dancers, and we had that moment. And it didn't stop. As long as we were moving and held that intention and held that unity of consciousness, it was phenomenal. And it went on probably for 15 minutes. I mean, this is long in terms of doing, you know, improvisation with a group of people you don't know. And we all knew exactly at the moment when we would come to the final position. And when we all arrived there, we were there. And there was great silence. And then suddenly everybody went, We didn't, but everybody who was watching us, which was like 30 other people there, whoa! You know, everybody was screaming, yelling, jumping up and down, clapping their hands. And we all got, we said, that was just absolutely amazing. How did we do that? That was incredible. And then Shirley Ryrie, in her impeccable way, she said, now do it again. Oh, well. And we said, we don't think it's possible. Of course, we tried, but we couldn't hit that high. But having had that moment, I said, okay, could I find in my life those kinds of moments that would be so full and in one with the consciousness that is the divine? Is that possible? Now, I know that it is possible because I've not only had it in that moment, but repeatedly over and over and over again in my life. And we have those moments that are, and it doesn't have to even be with another person. It can be a moment when you are so focused and whatever is happening around you is of such clarity that everything is revealed to you in that moment of what is in that moment, regardless of what that happens to be. And it can be anything. It can be eating pizza. I mean, you know, you never know. But it is how our being becomes one with what we're doing. You see how that works. The dancers were in absolute oneness in our being. Therefore, whatever we did was going to hold that being while we were doing whatever it was that we were doing in our improvisation. And I've had that experience with my dance company where we would have these pinnacle moments in performance, because in performance you got people watching and you know you got the adrenaline, you got all this stuff going on, and suddenly everything just clicks and the whole thing is like, whoa! And you go, okay, I'm in the zone, here I am, and this is what it is. Now, how to get to the zone with the divine? Oh, well, let's see, what would that look like? First of all, you'd have to want to be in the zone with the divine. You'd want to be in that place of surrender, because you see, all we dancers surrendered. We surrendered completely, and that's how we got into the being, the one consciousness. Because we surrendered. There was no ego. There was no chit-chat. Our minds were completely still and quiet. And we were completely focused. Completely focused. But we weren't focused on anything other than that moment of being absolutely perfectly there. So, if we want to be with the divine and have those moments, then it's being focused. No chit-chat, holding within ourselves the nature of our being so fully that however the divine is going to come to us, we will accept and receive. Now, I know people who say, well, if God's going to talk to me, then it's got to look like this. And I say, well, okay, that's a pretty strong request. And you're going to have to work really hard to convince the divine that that's the way it's going to be. You're going to have to do that. Or you can just open and let it be whatever it is. But you have to keep alert because you never know when it's going to happen, you see, dears. It can happen while you're waiting at a red light. It can happen when you're making your bed. It can happen when you're eating your cereal. It can happen when you're tying your shoe. I do not know when it would happen, but if you set your intention, thusly it will be. How many of you love to cook? Raise your hand. A few. Good. I don't like to cook, so it's never going to happen there. But if you love to cook, you know how when you're preparing a meal, people who love to cook, they say it's like a meditation. You know, you get into how the food is and the color and the texture and what it is that you're making. And that is the most beautiful time to just be with the divine, it seems to me, because you're in the act of creation. You're actually creating in that consciousness, and out of that comes wonderful food, which you then ingest. And I had an experience, this was years ago, I was out to lunch with my mom and some of her friends, and I was born in Brazil, and I ate certain foods there, which I hadn't eaten for many, many years, and they happened to have papaya, which in the South is a rare thing. And when I put that papaya in my mouth, and I just put it in my mouth like, well, you know, eat this, and blah, blah. And suddenly, everything just went, whoa! And I had one of those moments that just was incredible. I mean, it was like divine intervention with a piece of papaya. It took me to a whole different level. I said, I got to eat a lot of papaya, and I do, I adore it. And every time I put it that first bite into my mouth, that complete remembrance of that moment when everything just came alive in a way that was extraordinary. And it happened by eating a piece of papaya. Darlings, it can be in any way at all. And if you are ready, it will happen. I'll give you another example. My dad had a summer when he was going to be in Europe, and our whole family went. And we were in England, and I'm walking down a street, paying no attention to anything except just walking down the street in London. And I looked down, and there were cobblestones, and I was in a nun's attire, and it was the kind that, you know, used to wear this, you know, the headdress, long black, and it was like, it stopped my world. But it was another moment when time and space and that which was simply did not exist. And I was completely back in that moment, another simultaneous lifetime that was happening, except in another time altogether. And there I was. And it was unbelievable. And then it was over. And I looked up, and I'm back in this street in London, you know. And I went, oh, I see how this works. Wherever you are and in any moment, if you are open and ready and willing to have the experience, it will come unto you. And I do not know how it will be. But there it is. It is part of the potential that we have as souls being fully realized in this physical body. These were physical experiences I was having. Not out of body, not going to other realms. No, no, no. Just sticking a piece of papaya in my mouth, for heaven's sakes, you know. Walking down a street. These are the kinds of energies that occur when you allow the being which you are to express. And often, I believe that many of you have had something that has come very close to being a full-on wondrous moment, and you've either been distracted or you said, oh no. Maybe the fear arose, or maybe the mind got busy. What's going on? I don't understand. Why does it look this way? Or what am I feeling? And to be able to address whatever is happening moment to moment to moment, because often, I mean, I know people who work on cars, and for them, that is the divine consciousness made manifest. Working on a great car is like heaven on earth. And when they are doing what they're doing, whatever it is the being that they are moving and having this extraordinary experience with this car, just as Michelle has with Mother Earth. Those of you who cook, when you're creating. I have artists in this room that I know that when you're in the act of the art that you're creating, there is such a burst of consciousness that flows out of us when we have that. It's absolutely amazing. So I offer to you in these coming days and weeks, if you choose, just come into whatever it is that you believe to be your truth. Everybody has their own truth. Find that truth and place it in your heart, whatever that truth is, and just be with that truth. Just be with that truth, whatever it is, and bless it and love it and nurture it. And then ask, if you choose, that you may have a sense of being, truly being, fully in whatever that truth is for you. Because often, my truth is not your truth. I'm just here talking about what I know. But sometimes it may strike a chord and you'll say, oh, I know what that is. And what is truth for you is very beautiful. It has been garnered from all the experiences that you've had, all the things that have been true for you. It's not I compare my truth to another. It's the truth that is right for me because I know it's true for me. And if someone were to say, is that true for you? Whatever it is, I would be able in an instant to say yes or no because I know immediately what is truth for me. Do you not? We all know what is truth for us. And if we take that truth and we put it in our hearts and we allow it to be fully blossoming there, and the being of what we are and who we are and how we are is part of that truth, is it not? And how we experience ourselves in that truth. And it is palpable. I am not talking about something that is not palpable to us. It is very palpable. Now, I know when love is present, and we've talked about this. Love is present when one feeling is absolutely present, and that is joy. If you have joy, you know love is present. And if you are not feeling joy, then love is not there. It is somewhere, but it is not in you at that moment. And when the joy is there, it bubbles up freely and fully and joyfully, and you cannot not have it. It is there. And if you've never experienced pure joy, well, that may be the next step, to just know the pure joy. Now, let's take, for instance, a great thirst. And everybody in this room has had a great thirst at least once in their lifetime, I hope. Where you have either been working so hard or whatever you're doing, you have a great thirst. And you're already thinking about, I just can't wait to have that glass of water or whatever it is that you have to quench that thirst. And then that delicious first sip. And then that thirst begins to quiet, doesn't it? And then the next sip and the next sip. And if you're like me, honey, I just sometimes have to gulp. I just have to go, tup, tup, tup. You know, it's just so great. I just can't stand it. And I run over to the sink and I get more water. I go, tup, tup, tup. And it's just like, oh, thank you. This is so exquisite. Because it is that truth. That's a truth in the body. When there's thirst, how to quench that thirst. Well, are we not asking that we can quench the thirst that is within our hearts? The thirst of truly being in that divine consciousness. This is a great thirst, and it is all over the planet. Why do you think there are wars? It is because people thirst, and that thirst has never been quenched. And they will fight because they believe that in fighting it might quench the thirst. But it does not quench the thirst. It never will. But most do not know that. And so war will continue for as long as it needs be, because that thirst is so profound. It is so profound. And the same thing with any kind of behavior, whether it's individual or a group of people, where there is that sense of complete separation from who they are in the truth of their being. Each truth in this room is fully realized. All we have to do is bring our consciousness to it. So, I don't thirst now. I don't thirst because I'm continually drinking those waters of consciousness that flow through me. I'm completely being nourished and brought into a fullness of myself through that energy that is moving through me. And all of us have that going on. Now, if we haven't brought our attention to it, it means it's just happening without your knowing it. But if you bring your attention to it, bring your consciousness to it, then something else can happen. And it will be very profound. I've been in situations, one of them I had the privilege of having been on a camel riding through the Gobi Desert in China. And we rode out, a friend and I, and we asked that we could go up on a sand dune and do our practice. And so the guy was on a camel and the two of us were on the other camel. And we go to the top of the sand dune. And to get on the top of the sand dune, you know, you have to be on all fours and you claw at the sand and the sand disappears and you get that far. And you do it again and you get that far and you do it again. And we were just clawing our way up the sand dune. Oh, blah, 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 blah. And finally we got to the top and said, gosh, we're exhausted, you know, and the sun is beating down. I mean, the Gobi Desert is really a desert, folks. As far as you could see, you know, I thought, sure, I'm glad we got the camels to get back because it'd be really tough. And Lawrence of Arabia, that movie's so great to show you what that looks like. So we get to the top, and then we were doing Qigong. We did our Qigong practice, and then we decided that we would sit, and we sat, and, you know, the great thirst was building, and of course we didn't bring any water with us, duh. It hadn't occurred to us that it might be hot out there, folks, and there is no refrigerator nearby. Okay, so we finish our meditation, and our guide is on this other sand dune quite far away, and he's sitting in meditation, and we went, oh, this is remarkable, you know? He's meditating, we're meditating, we're out here in the Gobi Desert. And so then we sort of hail him and say, okay, we're ready, you know, okay. So he comes, and we get back on the camel. And as often happens, which we did not know once we got on the camel, that the camel knew it was going home. And so instead of plodding along like this, it went, ba-dum, 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 and we were screaming to the top of our lungs and hanging on for dear life, whatever we could hang on to with this camel. And we're going, ba-bum, 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 and the camel's going, da-da-da-da. And the faster he went, the more we shrieked. And of course, the camel driver thought that was hysterical. Here are these two women shrieking, and we're about to fall off this camel and holding on for dear life. It was just, you know, Laurel and Hardy at its best. So off we go. We finally get back, and we are just completely decimated by this time. We get off the camel, and we put our feet on solid ground, and here again was that moment. Okay? We had just been in a dryer or a washing machine, you know, just like this. And then suddenly, to stand on solid ground. And my friend and I, we just looked at each other, and we both had this exquisite, I'm sure, expression on our face, because she had it, and I'm sure I must have had it. It was like, you know, birth. It was like realization. It was like awakening to go from what most people feel their life is like, that ride on the camel, you understand? They feel like their life is just like that. It's out of control. They're hanging on for dear life. They're not really happy. They hope they're going to get home, but they're not really sure they're going to make it. And then suddenly, bam, there you are. And it's all that stillness, but all that energy is still within you that you were experiencing on that camel. It hasn't gone away, right? Now, how can we live our lives so that we have that moment where everything is just where it needs to be? Now that's the being. And we can go moment to moment to moment out of the hubbub of our lives, yes? And some of our lives really are like jam-packed, pat, 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 pat. I'll give you a day in the life of Mary. When I was choreographing for gymnasts and ice skaters, and I had my dance company. I would get up at 4:30 in the morning, I would be at the ice skating rink by 5. I would choreograph from 5 until 7:30. Then everybody would go off to school. I would then go home, I would have breakfast, I would then go to the studio, and from about 9:30 until probably noon, I'd be working with my dance company. I would go home and get a bite to eat. Then I would go back to the ice skating rink when the skaters got back on the ice, because they were only doing half days. And then I would choreograph until 5:30 in the evening. Then I would leave, I would go home and get a bite to eat. And then I would go back, now to a gymnasium, and then I would choreograph and work with the gymnast until 10 o'clock at night. Ew. I did that 7 days a week. Now, if that's not being busy, I don't know what is. I was a little busy bee, right? And I was doing, doing, doing. And I loved what I was doing. And people said, my God, you're this little energy bunny. And you just do, 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 do. And how do you do that? And I said, it's because I love what I do. And I have a really good eye. I can look at a gymnast or a skater or a person in a dance company, and I can say, this is what you got to do. Do, 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 do. Okay, now do it. And if they couldn't do it, I'd say, all right, it's the left foot and the right arm, and it goes like this. But I mean, you know, I had an eye to be able to know exactly what was what. Now, I did that for years. And then finally, one day, the divine said to me, no more dancing. I said, I beg your pardon? The divine said, no more dancing. That was a mystery school to train you so that you would know the nature of doing and the nature of being. And now you will just be being. You will not dance anymore. And I said, how is that going to be? And the divine said, first of all, you're going to lie down on the floor and you're not going to move. Because I had been a consummate mover, had I not? For 3 months, I lay down on the floor and I did not move. I call it my house coat period. Put on my house coat. Didn't even put on the underwear, folks. Just put on the house coat, lie down on the floor. And during that time, the being of who I was emerged. Because I had become such a consummate doer that the being of who I was sort of in the background. And I would have these extraordinary mystical experiences on the floor, and it was just profound. And I was at that time living with a gentleman, and he'd come home from work and he'd say, "Oh my God, you're still there." I'd say, "Yes, I am." And I would say, you know, "Could I have a little bite to eat?" You know, and he was very kind. He would fix a little bite and I'd eat it, and just there I'd be. And then eventually, when this time was over, I was told, "Now you may stand," and I stood. And I was told, "Now you have to move in slow motion." So I would pick up the spoon and put some food in the spoon, and I'm salivating, hoping I'm going to get it to my mouth, but it's all very, very slowly, very slowly. And finally, here it comes, it's almost to my mouth. Oh God, please don't let me drop it. Oh please, I have to get it in my mouth. Okay, oh, okay. And I couldn't chew it quickly, of course. You get it? You talk about, you want to get in touch with your being? You just do a little slow motion from time to time and it will bring you right to your being. You will have to let go of all your doing. And you'll go, "I don't know if I really want that." But you see, once you get what it is, the feeling quality of your being within you, then you can access it at any moment. But until you know what it is, how do you know that your being is your being? I want it to be palpable for each of you. I want you to feel the nature of your being so fully that whenever you're doing anything, the being is there accompanying you, regardless of how jam-packed your day is, how whatever it is. No matter what, that the being that you are, that divine presence, is there every single moment, and it is palpable. So you get to just bring it in, and feel what that is. And then watch how what you do may feel very different. It'll feel very different. And it may come in little increments. You'll say, "Oh, this is not happening. Whatever that lady was talking about, it didn't mean a thing." But if you stick with it, it will be revealed. And you will experience this in a very, very extraordinary way. And even the most ordinary things that you do in your life, if you do it from that place of being, it changes everything. Now, why do we have the physical body anyway? Why don't we just relinquish this and just go on the other side and just be in the formless? Because the divine God wants to know itself through every single one of us. We are the unique expression of divine manifestation. Unique. And when you realize that, then you say, "So, if I am this unique expression of the divine, then how will I honor it and love it and cherish it and take that knowing with me every moment of every day? And how will that change how I'm with other people who are also divine manifestation, made physical?" Otherwise, we'd just be in the formless here. And everybody would say, "Oh, hi, fine, formless." No, we're not. We're solid, three-dimensional. We've got these extraordinary appendages. And I'm sure that in the evolution of our species, there were a lot of things that they didn't have, and then they got them, and then they tried them again. And, you know, and here we are with the nose here, and the eyes here, and the ears here. Didn't used to be that way, I'm sure. They had to be an experiment. So we are here in this divine awareness. And if we just, I say, keep your eye on the ball of what it is that you're really here to do. And it is the manifestation of that being. And your service is that you show up that way. That's what you do. You show up with your being. And if you show up with your being, then life will be very different. If you show up with your ego conscious mind, well, we already know what that is. We've had a whole bunch of lifetimes with it, haven't we? And why do you think we're back again? Because we'd really like to get it this time. And get it in a totally different way than we ever have before. And when you look at what's happening on Mother Earth and with Mother Earth, and you're looking at all the other levels of energy that are happening on the Earth plane, from the most horrific energies to the most sublime energies, and everything in between. And we incarnated so that we would be aware of the most horrific and the most sublime and everything in between. And where do we want to be on that spectrum? How are we going to hold that energy that is our being, which is the divine which we are? How are we going to hold that, and how will it express through us? Some people sing, and when they do, the divine is manifesting through them. Don't you just weep when you hear some voices? When they're singing, it just, oh, it's just almost shattering. It's so beautiful. And music and art and poetry and literature, all these little art forms and painting and sculpture, all of them are manifestations, of course, of whoever created them through their being. Michelangelo said that when he chose a block of marble, all he did was chip away what was already there in the stone. He chipped away at what was already there in the stone. He did not say, well, here's a little sketch, and it's going to look like, oh, I'm going to call him David. That'll be cool. And then he held up the sketch, and he said, well, here's the head, da, 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 and here's the... No, 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 no. Here's the block. And what he did was allow the being of his creative consciousness to find what was within the stone. Now you can look at each of us and say, what have we chipped away to find the divine which we are? And how does that express? What does that look like? How is that being in us? He was seeking the being in the stone, not the form in the stone. And if he knew what the being of the stone was, then the form would reveal itself, yes? And that's what he did. And many artists, when they are painting or designing or creating, they do not say, it's going to look like da-da. No, not at all. They do not know what the form will be. But the being of that which they are working with and the being of that which they are will be in a union and communion with each other, and that will be created. Yes? Now, our lives are like that every single day. Every single day. Every time we're in relationship, even if it's just a passing of the eye upon another, it is the being that does that movement of energy between ourselves and another. And it is so beautiful. But if we do not hold our consciousness to it, it's just like blah, 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 blah. Doesn't mean a thing. But if we are, and I say exquisitely attuned, then the being that we are will be manifesting in that divine consciousness. So how does that feel? All right, then let us sit in the silence. I'm going to make the calls. For those of you who have not been here before, the calls have been made through the feminine line for almost 100 years, and I've been making the calls for 40 years. So they're very powerful, and you can just relax and enjoy however it works for you. I'd like to make the calls. I call now for the light of the divine to create a perfect circle of love, light, peace, and joy around all who are present here in the physical and also on the inner planes. I wish to acknowledge and give thanks for all souls who gather to be with us, whether in or out of embodiment, and for the radiance in which we find ourselves. Thank you. I call now for the infilling and indwelling of the divine within all of our bodies, planes, and cells. I acknowledge and give thanks for this, and for the divine consciousness that is available to us 24 hours a day, unceasingly. Thank you. I call now that we enter into the serene center of our being within our hearts, and there we enter the silence, allowing ourselves to fall more deeply still, in love with the divine which we are. Thank you.